Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for calling and listening into blogtalkradio.com. Now, policemen's conduct seems to go unpunished. Call in right now if you have been a victim of police brutality or if you defend clients of police misconduct. Tune into the show every Thursday and call in 657-383-1677. Let me know you are out there.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound.
And we already have a caller. Caller, you are now on with Hear No Evil on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, how are you?
I am great. How you doing, Miss Darlene? This is Arthur.
Thank you, Arthur.
I will always call in to support
two,
the station.
Yes, and our part two segment. Now, we were talking about your encounter with the police. And the criminal justice system, and we will be allowing callers to call in periodically until 7 o'clock. So let's pick up where we left off last week.
Yes, okay. Well, first of all, I really want to say I was rocking to that KRS-One. The sound
I
of the police.
Right. I thought that was appropriate.
You know,
I thought that was appropriate.
You know, you know, we've been talking about these same issues for years, whether it's been in music, whether it's been in the media, you know, it's
right.
Just been the same cause, you know. Even last week, you know, when I seen that the topic was harassment, you know, at first I was like, well, you know, police didn't harass me, but then I had to think of it in the extreme, you know. If I was arrested for a crime that I didn't do and I was punished for it unjustly, then they harassed me because they are a part of the whole spectrum of the system.
Exactly. Exactly. See, a lot of people don't realize that there are rules. There's rules to this, and it's according on even how you conduct yourself when you are approached by a police officer. They wait for you to become negative or combative so that they can add a charge to match your action. You have to be very careful in not arguing in public. You argue in court. You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of people are so into human rights and they think they have these rights. You have no rights. See, the Constitution even says that slavery was never abolished when it's regarding the criminal justice system. So they have to fill those jails, you know. And it's unfortunate that men like you miss out on valuable time giving up free labor.
Yes.
Because basically somebody's getting paid every time you are harassed by police. The police officer, if they arrest you, they get overtime. The DA makes money. The clerks make money. You understand what I'm saying? The people that supply the equipment in the jails make money. The food service people make money. The medical doctors make money. It's just a money game. How can we resolve this? What do you think we have to do about police misconduct?
Yes, you know, and I really want to add, you know, especially to, you know, for the young people, you know, like you said, you know, we are definitely living in a country which is, you know, unfounded truths. You know, the Constitution never was meant for black people, like you said. And if it were, we still wouldn't be talking about the same thing in 2018. But we are. But for the young people, what I just became aware of, you know, I wasn't really thinking about it, but, you know, like my friend and I, we were talking, and he was like, "Hey, yo, Art, you know, a lot of youths out here are homeless, right?" So, and I thought about that, you know, because I work with kids, you know, in the schools. So I could see things, you know, I'm not like a magician, but I could see things that will already materialize because our young kids are out here by themselves. And I'm talking about all ages, you know, the war is still on. You know, you could be 5 years old. If the kid is not learning, and especially in the community, then we can predict in some years where they're going to be. And if they have this interaction with police, you know, and then the interaction with the police, who, for one, they are not even from our community, you know, so they don't identify with us, but they police us. And like you said, it's an entrapment. If we even try to voice our opinion of anything, you know, they could easily lock you up and basically you'll be like, you know, the government basically says, "I'm going to lock you up unjustly. You figure it out later." You know?
Now, it's you funny figure that it you out said later. That. You said something that just reminded me of an article that James Baldwin. Are you familiar with James Baldwin, the author?
Yes.
Okay. In 1964, I was four. I remember marching with my mother and a few others with Black Panthers across 135th Street by the 32nd Precinct chanting police brutality. I remember that because I was pushing my little brother Gerald's stroller. And the reason why they were protesting is because my uncle, Frank Stafford, was a salesman watching police beat up on a boy, and the boy was accused of stealing a piece of fruit. And my uncle asked what did the boy do, and they beat my uncle mercifully. Like, he lost his eye. They took him to Harlem Hospital. They did nothing for him. They had to transfer him to Bellevue. He ended up being a very outspoken individual part of this thing called the Harlem Five, and James Baldwin wrote about it. But I didn't know that he was talking about my uncle when I was reading it until I saw the information, and then he mentioned his name, and then it came back to me. That's why I was out there marching. So this has been going on since I was four. Now, it probably has been going on prior to that, you know, exactly with the slaves, that revolted, and you know, they had the overseers and all of these people chasing runaway slaves. So this thing has gotten out of control. And even when you have people of color that are police, they are also picking up some of these bad habits. What can we do to stop this? What do we do? How do we stop this? How do we get this? Because the video cameras is not going to do it. There's people with phones literally, you know, posting police doing wrong. What do you think is the right solution? Now, me personally, I believe in fighting fire with fire. But then people say I'm trying to start a riot, you know, and then, you know, I'll have all these people coming after me. Well, my thing is this. When do you say enough is enough? The law is not working in your favor. These politicians are not speaking truth to power. And what has to be done about these police? Because this is happening in every state. They're shooting our people. They're shooting people. They're shooting unarmed people. They're shooting people that have license to carry. They are harassing people, raping people, kidnapping people. Because basically when you stop and frisk and you detain someone, that's a form of kidnap.
Yes,
you're
it is.
Kidnapping them. You're stopping people from their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness to question them because they don't have ID or they fit the description of a person that has been accused of a crime. How do we stop police misconduct? I want people to call in 657-383-1677. Now, Arthur, how did you survive this police misconduct?
Well, I can only say that, you know, because since the end result was that I was convicted, I can only say that, you know, the way my spirit is now, you know, I just have to just thank God, you know, for keeping me still, you know, even though I was going through that ordeal. You know, but you said, what is it can we do? You know, and like my opinion is that we don't have too many voices out here. You know, our people, we make comments, we know what's going on, but then we turn our head. You know, we pick and choose what it is that we want to come out. You know, like I always say, in like my case, right, and like this is no pun intended, but, you know, and what I say is when I'm traveling all through Harlem, through all these agencies, you know, all these black organizations, you know, I've been to many. I've been to the Congress, to the Senator's office, legal aid. You know, they don't help you. And it's like sad, but I would say that it's the people. You know, we don't use our voices. You know, we just went through the voting, right? You know, these politicians, they come out, they get our votes. We give it to them. Mm-hmm. Then from there, we don't hold them accountable. And from there, we still have, you know, individuals like me who are still languishing out here unjustly. And it's not just me, you know, it's like a lot of people. So I like always say, you know, rest in peace to the brother Sean Bell. Definitely big up to the Central Park Five and everything. But, you know, thank God I wasn't shot out on the street. Thank God I wasn't, you know, in the park. But I still say, just because I'm not, you know, my case is not on television, it's not high profile, but I've still received injustice like a lot of other brothers and sisters out here, you know? So I like really feel like the people have to get involved. We have to utilize our voices. We have to stop turning our head and just face the reality of what it is. You know, the police department, the FBI.
Now, let me ask you, let me interrupt you for a minute. When you say the people, what do you mean? What do you suggest that the people do? Because we have several means of getting the word out. We have social media, you know, we have newspapers, we have radio shows, TV shows. The news is out. What more do people have to do? What more do they have to do? Does it have to be a constant reminder? Do we have to start taking pictures of police officers with their badges and posting them up and letting people know what's going on? Do we have to constantly to be honest, I believe in, like, going to where the people live, like posting stuff in the neighborhood where the people live, you know, letting people know this officer has a license to kill. And I'm going to tell you why I feel like this. I am also law enforcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the field anymore because I've sustained a lot of injuries. So I'm on reasonable, you know, I have a desk job now. You know, a lot of people don't know that about me. So I'm very, very serious when it comes to law enforcement and doing the right thing. And I have worked with people that have abused power. Something happens to them when they took that uniform on, and it's a personality malfunction. What can we do as people to expose these police officers, blast their mental problems and their pictures, go to the neighborhoods where they live, go to their homes, go to where their children are, you know what I mean? Family member. I believe in just exposing people. You could do it. You don't have to put your name at the bottom, you know, who you are, because, of course, if you put signs up, you can get a summons because they'll track you down based upon your email. But you can put their info. I believe in doing all of that. And I'm going to tell you something. We have to start using the media and social media to do the right thing, as opposed to all this foolery that people promote online, because our kids are being targeted. And someone answered one of our questions and said, what about the black-on-black crime? Well, you know what? Everybody says black-on-black crime, but people normally abuse people that are in their proximity. It's not just black-on-black crime. There's white-on-white crime. There's Asian-on-Asian crime. There's Hispanic and black crime, but we are the only ones that get promoted as the criminals. That's the psychological warfare that's being used. But people are acting out because they are upset, so they reach out to the person that's near them, that looks like them. It's a form of self-hatred. We have to start targeting people that abuse us. We have to start taking these gang members and channeling their energy into something that's more worthwhile. We need them on the block. Stop protecting the block that you don't own and stopping people from coming in your neighborhood, but use that energy like the Black Panthers did and stop this nonsense. Why nobody targeting the gang members and directing them? You know why? Because they're the idiots that they're going to use to promote their guns to kill people for what? Our organs. The bottom line is they want our melanin and they want our organs, okay? Remember, used to be a time you used to have to follow the coroner? Now, you never know when the coroner is coming. You don't know what happens from the time your body is shot or killed by the time gets to the hospital or the morgue, your organs are missing. So now your family members got to make sure all your organs are missing. So it's big business. This is business.
Definitely.
How can we stop this prison industry business and this organ killing stuff? We have to put the word out. Call us 657-383-1677. So now, Mr. Brown, how has life been since your ordeal? How have you been able to cope mentally?
Well, you know, mentally, I can say that, you know, for me going through that, like, that dark cloud will never leave me, ever.
Oh, God.
But I have a fighting spirit, you know. I have a very strong fighting spirit, even though, like I said earlier, you know, the disturbing thing is that we have all of these organizations and agencies and everything out here that says they promote and says, oh, we're for justice, we're for civil rights, we're for this. But then when you go to them, which is your own people, you know, we have to start looking at our own self, you know. We have people who are in offices and everything like that, and they're doing nothing. They're just getting a check, you know.
Have you had problems getting employment or adjusting, you know, in the work world or personal adjustments? How long were you incarcerated for, if you don't mind?
I was incarcerated for seven and a half years. I actually had to go through some years. You know, I now work within the Department of Education, you know, which is good. You know, I have to give back, you know, to the kids. But even going
through
that.
Okay, wait a minute. Stop. Pause. So they didn't discriminate against you because of your incarceration? Because, you know, a lot of people are saying that it's hard for them to find employment when they do time.
Yeah, I could say I was discriminated against because I didn't get the job at first, you know. And then when I did get, and even though I put on my application that I do have a felony, but I never admitted to it, you know, to the crime. But I always say, hey, this is what's going on. And I was let go like 3 times before I was officially cleared to work within the educational system. So, you could say that I'm still disenfranchised. You know, I am still really disenfranchised.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Did you have a lawyer when you went to prison?
Yes. I had an appointed lawyer from the courts. To me, they all work up under the same umbrella.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
of course. So
police,
now, let me ask you another question. Were you told to plead guilty for a lesser charge?
Yes. Yes.
That's the business. That's the business. Now, if you would have taken it to court to trial, you would have gotten more years, or did they threaten you with more years if you lose?
Oh, no. I did go to trial. You know, even though I didn't really understand what was going on, you know, I could say, sadly, too, you know, like, my family didn't even know what's going on. You know, a lot of times we don't know what's going on when we get trapped up in there. One thing for me is that I just knew in my heart that I'm not going to admit to a crime that I did not do. And I said that in court.
How were you able to go to jail then?
Because
what was the evidence? Did they have evidence?
The evidence was bogus identification, which happened through being arrested in violation of my Fourth Amendment rights, which is search and seizure. When a person gets, you know, is like accused of a crime and like time lapse, so like if it was like 2 weeks later and then like the police come and get you, they're supposed to have a warrant, you know. But we know that police, they don't go get warrants. They have the court on their side. They have the judges on their side. So, you know, we may think that when they appoint us these attorneys, even at the post level, you know, they don't help. You know, it's just business. And it's always been business. You know, black people have always been cattle. You know, and for me, that's basically what it is. We are still a business.
So
you know, we
you
are still.
Did they have you? Where did they have you downstate, or did you have to go upstate?
I was downstate, and I also went upstate.
How so? Now, were you in population, or were you in solitary?
I was in population.
Did
you know,
you
I was
have,
a
like,
population.
Did you have to fight like these gang members that they talk about, you know, all the time on TV, like to go through the gang situation?
Nah, you know, fortunately for me, you know, like I said, when I went through that ordeal, you know, I can only thank God that he kept me away from any harm. You know, I never had a problem, you know. I actually ran into good brothers in there, and, you know, but thankfully, I, like, never had a problem, you know. So I am fortunate, you know, for that, you know. But
so let me ask you
we
one
know,
last
and like
question.
Other prisons, it's much serious.
It's really. Let me ask you one last question. What right now can you say to any black male, Hispanic male, that may be approached by a police officer? What is the one thing you think that they should be prepared for and that they should know? And you have 3 minutes.
Well, I would say, one, know your rights. You know, we don't have to be emotional when we encounter police. they wait for that. That's when you get the resisting arrest charge. That's
right.
when, like, you know,
right.
you start getting the bogus charges. You know, we have to start
right.
even teaching our young people as well. Don't be so emotional when dealing
right.
with these
okay.
police officers, because they're waiting
okay.
for that trigger, you know. So
right.
when it's like that, police come, you know, be as civil as you can. You know, it's not that we are
right.
looking down, you know, being inferior,
right.
but just know and understand who you are and know that they have policies to follow. We have to get in tune with
right.
the law. Even though this
right.
is still the British or European law, we still have to get in tune with the law, because that's how they are controlling us and they keep filling these jails, you know.
Mm.
So my advice to anybody who is, you know, approached by a cop for whatever reason is just be calm. Be calm. You know, don't be all aggressive with your hand movements and everything like that, you know, and just be civil. Sometimes we have to wait to fight the battle later, you know, because they make mistakes and they mess up. And that's what my friend is going through. He have a bogus charge of harassment and all this stuff like that. And, you know, I told him the same thing. Hey, dude, you know, just be easy. And when you go to court, you just have to learn. You have to be in tune with what's going on. Don't, you know, it is personal, but you have to be in tune. You know, so that's my advice, you know.
So you're saying that your approach or the way you respond to any police officer determines whether you go home or you go to the morgue.
Yes.
Or to jail.
Or straight
because
to central booking.
Central booking. Wow,
right.
I'm so honored to be able to speak to you, and you seem to have a very great personality. Unfortunately, you had to succumb to such abuse, and I understand you're trying to write a book, and I'm looking forward to, you know, your memoirs. And so when you do have that together, please come back on the show so we can promote that, and you could possibly go on our tour with us. I want to thank you for calling in, and all of you listeners that I was unable to connect you to Mr. Brown. I'm so sorry, Mr. Brown, but what is your Facebook? You know, how can people find you? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Instagram?
Yes, on my Instagram, you can go to Hughman47. That's Hughman, you know, for colored man,
right.
and 47.
Right.
And on my Facebook, it's just Arthur Brown with the black.
Thank you,
you know.
So much for tuning in. And once again, thank you for calling in. And thank you for all of you listeners. Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police.